God, our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text comes from Malachi 3, verse 3. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. We pray. Lord Jesus, we rejoice that you have come to us as a baby at Bethlehem to give us life. Pray that you would come among us today as we hear your word and gospel, that we might receive it with repentant and joyful hearts. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Ready or not, here I come. Anybody played this game? Yeah. Hide and go seek, right? So you better make sure you have a good hiding place because, ready or not, they're coming to find you. Right? That's the way it is in the season of Advent. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. He's going to one day come. There's nothing we can do to stop his coming. And just like you count for hide and go seek, day by day, the days are getting closer to that last day when Jesus will return. And you know what? There won't be any place you can hide. I'm sorry, there's no hiding place good enough where Jesus will be, oh wait, oh I missed you, sorry, you were hiding under the pew over there. No, that's not going to work when Jesus returns. It says when he comes, all flesh will see him and acknowledge that he is the Lord and Savior. So ready or not, here he is coming. That's the same message that John the Baptist proclaimed, that ready or not, he's coming. The Messiah is coming. So be ready for him. And how does he express that? He expresses it through repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It seems like a simple message, but it's so often misinterpreted and ignored and neglected, isn't it? Because the thing is, as sinners, we do not want to repent, do we? We want to think that somehow, some way, we can, if we just choose to not believe in God, that he'll just not really exist. He won't really come. We choose to mock the messenger. We choose to attack the character of the messengers. I mean, think of John the Baptist. He wore camel's hair and ate honey and grasshoppers. All right? You think someone could have said, hey, you're just a lunatic. I don't have to listen to you. That's not really true. Jesus isn't really going to come. But he did. We could still see that today, don't we? What? They don't really know what they're talking about. They just spoon-fed that. They just grew up hearing that. That's just a Western thing or a white person thing, or that's just a crutch for the weak. That's not really true. Jesus isn't really coming. But he is. So the question is, are we ready for his coming? And it's not through the mountains of pride that would get in the way. You know what I'm talking about? That self-righteous thinking, the attitude that we're sinless and we don't somehow need the Lord to come and save us. Because no one wants to admit that, that you're a poor, miserable sinner in desperate need of a Savior. Yay! Can't you just tell me how great I am, you know? Right? It says Jesus has come to lower those mountains. It's a symbol of, yeah, he's going to be so great and glorious, so everything needs to be made straight and low and level, right? We can also think he's come to lower those mountains of pride that get in the way, that would deny his message of salvation and hope. He comes to lower up those valleys of despair and shame that would say, I've sinned too much. There's nothing I can do. There's no way that God could possibly still love me or receive this sin. He's come to do away with the rebellion that goes on the crooked and the wide road instead of the straight road. Following the Word, following Jesus. He's come to make that straight through faith. It's the message of repentance. It's the message of the wrath of God, really. Yeah, it's there. You might say, oh, he's just angry. I just woke up on the wrong side of bed this morning. That's why he's talking about that judgment stuff. Right? No, I'm talking about it because it's right there in the Word. Right? It's like, well, you're trying to save someone from getting hit by a car. Maybe they don't know the car's coming. They might say, hey, don't tell me I'm going to get hit by a car. You're being unloving and hateful. But then they get hit by the car because the car is still coming. Now, what if they actually listened and moved, and then what happens? You find that they would be safe. See how easy it is to just dismiss the Word of God. The thing is, even though we don't understand it, even though people will say it doesn't make sense, or that it's foolish, or will attack the characters of the messengers, or whatever, it still remains the truth. Don't be deceived by the lies around you and those doubts in your heart. Jesus has come, and he is coming again. So how do we endure the day of his coming? How do you endure a judge who knows everything in your life? Past, present, and future, all the things you have done, will do, all the thoughts. How can you possibly hold to raise a case against someone like that? You can't even push it back in their face. You can't even say, well, look at your own life, Jesus. You know, don't people ever do that to you? You know, you try to confront sin in their life. I know, I've done it before. Well, look at your own life. What does God say? Yeah, look at my life. I lived it perfectly for you. Without sin. I went to the cross for you. I suffered and died for you. I didn't have to come. You didn't ask me to come. You weren't even looking for me to come. But I came. Because I love you. Because I want you to be saved from my righteous judgment. To know the life that's in me. See, it says the Lord, in Malachi, it says the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. After that first temple was destroyed, and they rebuilt the temple in 515 BC. There wasn't the glorious display of the presence and power of God like there was in the first temple. They didn't have that, so they were wondering, when is God going to come and fill his temple? So there was an expectation and a waiting. And it was fulfilled when Jesus came to Jerusalem, entered the temple. When Jesus said, this temple is my own body, which I'm going to lay down for the life of the world. There was prophecy of his coming, and he came. Over 700 years before he came, Isaiah the prophet said, he is coming. Be ready. Today, God still speaks through his messengers, you and me. Tell people, Jesus has came. Jesus will come. Repent and receive the gospel. Thing is, we can't hope to stand. We can't hope to endure the day on our own, can we? How can a defendant hope to endure the day of his judgment when the judge and the prosecutor know everything that they've ever done? You can't hope to raise a case. But Jesus says, I've come to purify you. I've come to purify. See, that's bad news for people who don't know me, but good news for those who receive me. Faith. He's come to purify all that filth in our hearts by giving us his purity, by giving us his holiness. And it says that they may offer sacrifices of righteousness to the Lord. Not like those other sacrifices where they were just going through the motions. Not like the other sacrifices where they were just doing what they wanted. Not the sacrifices of evil. Sacrifices of righteousness. Of people who seek and know the Lord with their hearts and minds and strengths. Not because they are inherently were born pure, but because they have been purified by the purifier. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire that came at Pentecost has come to you today. Again, to remind you of the day of your baptism. This Lord is not only your purifier, but he's the agent doing the purifying. And with that, we can stand. With that, we can endure the day of his coming. Not only that, but hope for it and pray for it and meet it with joy. Because we know that whatever we feel like or whatever people say, Jesus is coming. That's the truth. And see, the knowledge of knowing that Jesus has come and purified us while we were dead and while we were sinners, that's why we want to offer sacrifices to the Lord with our lives of love and service to other people for the glory of God. Just as Philippians says, this fruit isn't on your own. It's through Jesus Christ that you bear fruit for him, that you may one day appear pure and blameless at his coming. You know what it says in 1 John, when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. Will forgive our sins, cleanse us, and purify us from all unrighteousness. Peter says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, people belonging to God. That's what it means. The sons of Levi was a priesthood order. Now Jesus is saying, now in me you are all priests, meaning you all offer sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices of your lives that please him, because they're done from faith that cleanses our hearts from the purifier. We all have access to God. We all can pray to the Father through Jesus. We're all messengers of the Word to share with the world. So he purifies us to be his priestly people, abounding in faith and love and knowledge and discernment. And so whenever we feel filthy, whenever we feel foolish, whenever we're told that our filth is our identity, we're reminded that we've been baptized by the refining and purifying fire of the Holy Spirit. That the pure life of Jesus Christ is ours through faith. And it's only that that can get us to prepare for the coming of the Lord, right? Because through faith we know there's nothing more important than the life in Jesus Christ. And so as we see that happens through repentance, and what that means is we're turning from what is sinful and evil in our lives, not simply confessing it, but no, we want to confess it in turn to Jesus. Not confessing it and turning to despair and shame. Not confessing it and saying, it's okay, I'll just hear I'm forgiven so I can keep doing it. Confessing it because Jesus has come. And he's given you life and the power to walk in that life. So that when that day comes, and it is coming, you will be able to meet him with joy and with fulfillment of all of your hopes, all of your longing. We prepare for the Lord's coming during the season of Advent and always in our lives. Through our lives of repentance, trusting that he who began this good work in us will bring it to completion on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds fully in Christ Jesus our Lord.